Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, Cooles. Welcome to the Barca Talk Cafe. I'm Gabriel Quiroga here in Madrid, Spain. And as an effort to get to know our patrons, one of our favorite patrons, Kim André Vives, joins me in the Barca Talk Cafe. Kim, ¿qué tal? ¿Cómo estás?
Bien. Buena nit, Gabriel. Buena nit a tothom. Thank you for having me.
I have to first off say, you are amazing in the group with your daily newspapers that you share with the group. So I want to personally thank you, because that is an awesome touch that you do. For those of that don't know, Kim posts the front page papers in our WhatsApp group for everyone to see from Sport and Mundo Deportivo. So first of all, thank you, Kim, for doing that, because I know it is an effort. I mean, it's a little small thing, but I really do appreciate it. And Kim, more importantly, we got to meet in person a couple weeks ago in Barcelona, and that was awesome. Going to the match and, you know, having some beers after. So that was great. Hopefully we'll have more experiences as that. But, you know, we want to get to know you a little bit. So my first question, Kim, how did you become a Barca fan?
Oh, well, this is a family thing. So my parents, so my father is from Cervera de Catalunya. So it's very close to Terrassa, where Xavi is coming from. And so the half of the family is Catalan. So my grandfather, my father, they are culés. So it was always only one club. Because I was playing football a lot in my life, and this was even on the pitch or outside. Barca is always, let's say, part of a life. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have an interesting background, like you said. You're Catalan, and now you live in Germany. Is that correct?
Yeah, because the other side, which my mother and is from Germany, so they decided to go to Freiburg, which is in the triangle between Switzerland and France in the southwest of Germany, close to St. Gallen, where we had the last patron with Niklas there. It's very mm-hmm. close, and we have an office in St. Gallen, so maybe we will meet up there, yeah, together. So we live in Germany now in Freiburg, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, as I asked Niklas this last time, you know, we all have different Barca moments that kind of defined our Culésism even further, you know? So what is that Barca moment for you that really you remember vividly, that really maybe put you over the top to become even a stronger Culé than you were before?
Well, that's touching. Well, I would say there are two moments. There's not only one, and that makes sense. It was the first was... Yeah, that was not a happy moment. My grandfather was really old, and at the end, it was really going to the end. And he was not like going out or something. And he was laying in the bed in this room. So his daughter took him home, and he were like the last day of his life in front of him or on top of him was the Barca thing, the whole, how you call it, the Beteke, yeah? Yeah, and this is something I will never forget, and that what makes me more stronger for Barca from the very beginning, because that was almost 30 years ago, yeah? And the second one was the Remontada Paris game in Barcelona. We went there with the family, and I went there with my wife, and yeah, that was a couple minutes before we started the Remontada in the last minutes, when it was always over, almost over. My wife said, let's say, we're going to do this. Yeah, I said, like, come on. Because the 10 minutes before, there were silence in the stadium. That was not always the that was really, you know, because then, and then it was the best, I think, and I spoke with a lot of older people and also from the family, and this was the maybe one of the most touching and explosive moments in Camp Nou ever.
It's funny because I remember that match vividly for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons for me, I don't know if I talked about this, but last time I was streaming the games because I didn't want to pay for the games here in Spain. But that game, that match, from that point on, I decided I can't do the streaming anymore. So I had to pay for the live feed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I remember that. Obviously, that's for other reasons. Obviously, the game was epic. Really quick, before we get into some of the questions that many of the patrons asked about you, because you are definitely one of our most popular patrons in the community. What is kind of your final review of this season, and what kind of hope do you have for this offseason going forward?
I think we all expected a transition year. So you said it from the very beginning, like no expecting no trophies. And that's hard for a Kool-Aid to go in the season and to know that we'll be not end up with the coach we started and with the, maybe with the team we started. So we lost a lot of reputation. That's more a pain than the... It's going up and down. It's an amplitude. So we will be back and we will have trophies again. That's for sure. I hope we can do the one or the other the next year. I think Xavi has a plan to build up a long-term, I mean, stable, let's say, defense midfield things. I think an idea behind. I'm just happy. And I told you when we met each other, and the last game was an example that was even Busquets for me was even the best on the pitch, because without him there would be nothing on that. So I'm just happy that the season is over.
I mean, we've been having a lot of debate in our community about Busquets, right? I mean, we saw someone posted a stat this week about the amount of minutes that he's been playing and how that relates to the offensive mindedness of Busquets. So I'm there with you. I'm excited for the offseason, but, you know, we'll see what happens with this offseason with signings. All right, Kim, you have one of these incredible business lifestyles where you're always traveling for work and you get to share the amazing food and the amazing cities you go to in our group, which we all love. So the first question we have from Arturo for you is, what is your favorite country for food?
Italy. Well, it's just related to culture and to kind of enjoying food and time spending with people and enjoying food and then having different style. Everything you get everything there, but with a kind of happiness on it and very good quality, great wine. Well, there is everything there, so it's Italy.
We have a question from one of our patrons, Arturo, who wants just to simply ask, so your favorite restaurant and where is that located?
Okay, the favorite restaurant is definitely, that's difficult, yeah. it's two restaurants. So La Barca de Salamanca in Barceloneta, Puerto Olimpico. In Barcelona is a great place. If you remember Barcelona before the Olympics, when this was not, this was another city before, and this changed completely. So I think the restaurant is there since the Olympics, and so this is the first one I can recommend. It's not that upscale, so it's good quality and a good spirit of Barcelona, even if it's also touristy. And the second one is just the outstanding from the US standpoint, that is Chops in Atlanta, Buckhead, Atlanta. There are three restaurants. The first is on the left. The second is a more a fish place. And there was a fire there a year ago. So I hope they are back now, because they have an interruption of maybe around a year due to that fire. In the back, they have a club for members. And I was, I was happy to join always when I come there with my friends. So we go to the whole restaurant, which is full of people, and then you go, you see a black door, and behind that you have a fully ambiente, and you can smoke cigars there. And it's good seafood tower stuff. So Chops is definitely a recommendation if they hopefully come back. Yeah.
I love it. You go to a back door and there's a club from the restaurant. I love it. That's so typical. And this leads perfectly to the next question from Tom. And Tom asks, how did you start smoking Nicaraguan cigars? Because I believe Tom has some Nicaraguan connection or something. So I know that in the chat, sometimes you are sharing photos of yourself smoking cigars. So I know you are a cigar aficionado. So how did you start smoking Nicaraguan cigars?
It came by a good friend of mine, a Belgian friend living in the US. And so he's really a daily cigar smoker. So he gave me a little more insight of the taste of the different countries. And so that was the first start of that. I don't have a real... I have a mild taste, and I want to taste most. If it's mild, I'm gonna taste it. But the Padron Classic is something you can recommend to everyone. It's a great cigar.
All right, last question before we get into Barca back again. Okay, last question. This is from Barca Mama, and she just asks, "Do you have a restaurant recommendation in Dallas?"
in Dallas?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I will go there hopefully this year. And I already know where I go to. So it's Tai An. Tai An, it's Japanese. So I don't have the experience to eat there, but I will go there because I know it's the best place if you like that kind of food.
Perfect. Perfect. I mean, Kim, you are definitely like one of the most interesting people in our group for sure. And this is one of the things that I love about our community is that, you know, when I ask the community to ask you questions, you know, it's automatically restaurants because, again, you share this with us. But this is a passion for me as well. I enjoy going to good restaurants and having good food. And that's part of my, you know, my weekend experience here, especially here in Madrid. So thanks for all the advice and recommendations. So hopefully those patrons will take that into account. All right, now let's get into some Barca news. The first thing I have for you is the Ansu Fati fears. Now, it has been reported most recently that Ansu Fati is still not 100%. The medical staff are still pretty concerned about this. And obviously, we remember back in January that Ansu decided not to have surgery. He wanted to have a more conservative approach. But again, according to reports, especially when he was at the national team a couple weeks ago, he's lost resistance, explosiveness, speed, and power because of this injury. How scared are you about Ansu Fati not returning at the beginning of the season?
I'm not scared about it. It's very important in his situation, you know, having a ongoing ongoing problems on your legs. It's not good. So maybe it's also one of the last chances he will have now. And so he just needs to take his time, whatever that is. And if it's maybe got to be in September or later, who cares? He needs to be very, very, very fit before he start going there. And Xavi knows because he already also had the knee problems. And after that, he started to score more goals. So he had a better time after the big injury of Xavi. If I remember right. So he just need to take his time. I don't need him in the starting 11 in the first game. Maybe he will join later, but then we will get another rocket on the pitch. And that's what I'm believing in. And the press is doing a lot of noise, which is, during summer, you need to sell the headlines. Yeah.
Well, I'm nervous. I'm very nervous.
Well, yeah. What's your take on it? Yeah.
I mean, I'm nervous just because, you know, I thought, especially at the end of the season, that he was probably like, I assumed that he was maybe at 80, 85%. But now if he's still not being able to recuperate and get 100% after this offseason, I'm really nervous. And at one point, you know, I asked the group this question, at what point is there like a fecha de limite, right? Like, is what is the deadline date for him to have surgery and to have recoup for this season? Because the worst thing I think that will happen is if this continues through the summer and all of a sudden we're playing, you know, kind of catch up with, yes, he can play two games, he's out for three games. He can play one match, he's out for four. You know, I do not want this situation because he's so important to the attack. So I'm nervous. And like you said, I understand that it is slow news day, right? It's slow here. So they are trying to sell headlines here in newspapers. But at the same time, I'm still, there is some evidence to this, you know, especially from the Spanish national side, and that he wasn't able to even get any minutes with the Spanish national side because they were concerned about his fitness and so forth. So there's a lot of moving parts to this. And I am concerned because, you know, we all think, you know, the two most important players on the team are Pedri and Ansu Fati, and we need them 100% healthy, especially at the beginning of the season, because we need to get those points at the beginning of the season. That's how I feel.
Well, absolutely. But the interesting question is how Xavi thinks about it, because he needs to build up a starting 11 without.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Pedri and Ansu from the beginning, and that's the concerning point, because that's related to new players we need to sign, and but if you at the moment you cannot count on them from the beginning. It's, we don't know the reality. I mean, they are serviced by the best doctors. When you see where Manchester City sent their players for the major surgeries, they send them to Barcelona to the Catalan doctors. So it's, I mean, we will see, but it's important that he will recover, and he's wearing the number 10 anyway. So there is a lot of pressure on him. So it's not only how to react his body on the situation, it's also his mindset and because it's a lot of pressure on this young guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he's still pretty young. But again, I'm just concerned because, you know, in all of my professional sports of watching, when a player has this type of injuries early in his career, it does not look well in the rest of his career. And that's all I'm concerned about. I'm very concerned about this, you know, because I know you're hopeful because you are the optimist of more of us. I'm more kind of, I'm not sure, but we will see, because we will see in the preseason, because they're going to be traveling all over the world this summer playing all these matches. So hopefully he'll get some playing time and we'll actually be able to see him and kind of make our own judgment onto that. So we will see. All right, let's move on to the next item. It was just announced this week that they're going to have a fundraising match August 24th against Man City. So they had a press opportunity here this week where Pep and Laporta were able to reunite. And obviously this match is for ALS, for one of the former Barca coaches under Luis Enrique, Juan Carlos Unzué, and he is suffering from ALS. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, it has affected him, but he has become such a strong advocate on this. He has been pushing, you know, for awareness, for funding, and all these different things for ALS. So I think this is a really great opportunity for Man City and Barcelona to come together for this fundraising event.
It's sensitive, you know, seeing Ferran, Chiqui, Pep in you know, in the stadium again, you know, it's they are in the wrong team. And I have to be honest, I watched twice when I was on planes the Man City report they did on Amazon Prime, and it's just hard for me to see how they, you know, if they have enough money. But they do the right decisions and they sign the right players. And that's why they want to go for Frankie. Yeah? And it's very hard for me to see this very three successful guys, in my view, not having in the right club.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, and like you said,
my thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. And that's the thing is Pep has basically made Man City the new Barcelona with the way that they are running the youth system, fitness, health, everything, you know, from top to bottom. So he's definitely transformed since he's got there. All right, a couple of other news items before we get into some Patreon questions about Barcelona. The next thing today, Barcelona officially announced that they'll play games at the Montjuïc. They made that accordance official. So one of the issues that they were talking about today in the news is the difference in capacity. So, you know, at the Camp Nou is 90,000 plus. Here at this Montjuïc Stadium, it's 56,000. The other big question is how are they going to distribute the tickets, because that's a massive amount of difference. And Laporta says we are working on it. So we'll see what that happens. The other thing, the stadium at the Montjuïc, because it is an Olympic stadium, has the track around the stadium. So there is definitely some separation from the stands to the field. The other thing, too, is that Barcelona is going to help cover some of the renovation costs to cover, like, the dressing room and the new press box. And that's going to cost between 15 and 20 million euros to get that up to date. So what are your thoughts? This is for the 23-24 season. That's going to be the full year. And it's going to move, you know, all the direction of the traffic from the west side of Barcelona to the east side of Barcelona, basically, with this move. So any thoughts on the Montjuïc? Have you ever been to the Montjuïc Olympic Stadium?
Yeah, I was there at the Olympics in 92 with my father and my brother. So we went it's 100 kilometer from Cervera to the city of Barcelona. So it was 2-3 days experience. We saw the gold medal of Javier Sotomayor. I still remember, and so it was. Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
Nice. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully, they have a better transportation situation than what happened to me when we went to the match a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where I got stranded looking for a Uber for 2.5 hours. So we'll see. Last news item, Kim, last news item is Neto, the backup goalkeeper, doesn't want to leave Barcelona. And that kind of puts a problem for Barcelona, because Barcelona want to move his contract because he's an old veteran. They want to get his money off the books. And he may just sit out for the year, according to reports. This is quite troublesome because, you know, Barcelona cannot afford any dead money like this. And, you know, we already have a couple players on the books already, like Umtiti, for example, who's earning so much money and is not playing at all. And now to have another player like Neto who doesn't want to leave, this could be very troublesome, especially if we want to bring in some players this summer.
Well, I think now we need to make tough decisions. So at the end, it's everything is negotiable. So they need to find a solution soon. Let's say to kick them out, because like Umtiti and some stuff is now very, very, very sensitive, and it's over every limit. Yeah. So it's a question of money at the end. They need to make the balance between keeping them and maybe having them on just sitting on the beach, or just pay them out and send them somewhere. I mean, Umtiti and Neto will be, yeah, maybe two of them, yeah, for sure. In my view.
I mean, this is a great mantra or motto right now, because everything is negotiable, right? I think, and that's going to lead us into these Patreon questions, because a lot of these questions are about players and wages and all these different issues. So I want to get your opinion on this. The first question we have is from Arturo. He says, need your opinion on selling De Jong, and if it's actually smart to use that money for Bernardo Silva, which is the rumor. Again, as I said before a couple weeks ago, I think at this point you are trying to make as much money as you can with whatever players you think are sellable, right? And so in my opinion, if Barcelona are really, really as bad as we think or worse, then I think you have to sell De Jong to save face to go forward. What do you think? Do you think Barcelona should sell him, or just keep him and not sell him and try to get that 100 million from his transfer buyout?
Well, I'm personally very related to that's because of Johan and it's two Dutch to Dutch football, to the mentality of the players. That was always, even in the 80s, when I remember Gullit, Van Basten, Rijkaard, and Van Bronckhorst, Gio, yeah, they, and we had, a, I mean, we had a lot of Dutch players, maybe too much in the one or the other season when we look back, yeah. But so that's first the way I like him. Yeah, I like him very much, and we see how he looks like in the national team. It's a different Frankie. Yeah? And Xavi was starting the first couple years. That was a very challenging time for the club when Xavi started. And we all saw, well, he's a talented guy and he will take over from Guardiola the midfield position, and because it's all about them. It's all about them, these players who really, let's say, steer the whole game. And we saw that at the last game when Busquets is still the person who decides where we go, left or right. So, yeah, you see that, yeah, you see that very much. And that's why I think the Frankie thing is a long term. When he signed, it's the same for me like Ter Stegen. When he signed, I said they can play there for 10 years. And I still believe that the best time of Frankie will come. But he needs to, and I think Xavi will find a way. And I would not sell him, because I think there is a mix between maybe with Pep. He likes him. De Bruyne, I would say the same. De Bruyne is the player he is because of Pep. I think he make a really next step, and I would not sell him. It's our real one of the pearls we have, and it's not 100%, but he needs to, yeah, that's now his time to stand up and to show up, yeah.
This is why we always talk about, we want to see the books. We want to see how bad we are in the black, right? Because if we are such a bad, then we might have to just sell him. But again, he is one of the pearls. I just want to get more out of him, more consistency. You know my feeling about
Deep. But if you sell him, that's like you are, well, if you sell him, everybody will see like, wow, this is, you know, they're selling the pearls.
I know, but this is the thing is, right now, this is not a typical Barcelona offseason where all we're trying to do is improve the team, right? The team also has to improve on the physical side, and that's what's really difficult because we don't know the numbers. And so, you know, there's all these rumors coming out, but there hasn't been a move yet. And so that's always troubling for me. The only thing that's really happened is the Sergio Roberto extension, but that's really nothing, you know?
No, but let's say we're talking about big money. And
I know.
To negotiate that, even everything is negotiable. Still, there is more stuff to come, but it's not, you cannot do it from day tomorrow. It's hard work behind. And
I know.
You see Laporta doing his, he didn't promise any trophy this year, but he promised to say, well, come on, we got some transparency, and we're going to try to get some money back and to sell the brand better. Than we all know that we don't have to talk about the brand at Barcelona. When Goldman and Sachs still investing a lot of money in the, it's a brand, and it will stay a brand forever. So it's not, but it takes some time to fix that money behind if you have that debt on the account. It's just, I respect also the time frame behind. It's for me, I have an understanding for that. Yeah.
We have another question for Barca Mama, and she has, where are we on getting rid of our high-wage bench warmers, as we just kind of alluded to about Umtiti? They remind me of that coworker that you know makes more money than you that does nothing. Has to be super frustrating for the ones that play every game yet make less money, like, for example, Gavi, for example, number one. This is a big issue. I mean, because, as we just talked about with Neto, these are players that are earning a lot of money, but there's no demand for them. And obviously, a lot of teams know that Barcelona are so desperate. So the other teams are in a power position to negotiate because they can maximize that. So I don't know. For example, I heard today in the rumors on the news today that Umtiti might go to Italy. But who knows? You know, who knows what's going to happen? And also, Barcelona are most likely going to have to pay some of that wage. It's not going to be completely 100% taken off the books by another team. So
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
These are a lot of issues. What are your thoughts? I mean, we're talking about Umtiti, first of all. That's the number one player. And, yeah. What are you going to do? I mean,
Well, it's a business. It's a business, and it's a game every company plays when you play that league. And it's a question of money, I would say. And the clubs and Barca, with every respect, we have to understand that it's a very hard market at the moment. So it's just important to discuss an exit and even pay out and have a pain, because you get a toxic situation if you have that kind of players inside. I know maybe they love Umtiti, he's in the club, and you need, you know, some people to join the training. Yeah, but it's not really good if they don't play, if they fight behind the team. And we need to have a clear situation starting with the preseason, because Xavi needs to have a clear preseason with a fit team and the time, because of the World Cup, it's even shorter than usual. So it's just important that we have a clear picture of the situation soon. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, with the World Cup in November, my gosh, it's going to be such a crazy end of the season, or end of the calendar year rather than season. All right, we have two more questions. This question was basically asked by two people, so Carlos and Nicholas. The first part: considering the economic levers have been approved, it would be extremely disappointing if there were no moves made to improve this team. And then Nicholas said he's curious what your takeaway from the assembly, given you have watched it. So again, my first thing is, well, like I said before with Nicholas, that Laporta is one of the best salespeople you've ever seen in your life, right? In the assembly, he animates the people, he gets people, you know, face to face, and gets them to sway or to go to it in a way. And he is very, very, very good at that. So for me, I thought both things were going to get approved. They both did get approved. And again, I think with Carlos's question is more my concern. You know, you approve these economic levers with the merchandising and the TV rights. And what happens now if nothing comes through the pipeline? Let's say if they don't sign a Lewandowski or they don't sign another fullback, then we're going to know that this money was more needed to just cover costs, and we can't really improve this team, and it's going to be a difficult season for Barca. So what are your thoughts on the economic levers that were approved last week by the Socis? And then on top of that, just, you know, Laporta's behavior and, you know, as we say in Spanish, comportamiento, right? Like his, yeah, you know, his ability to just be in front of the people and just talk and get them to change their, you know, just to present what he wants.
Yeah. Well, first I agree with you that he's doing the best out of it, to sell it in the best the way out of it. But it's when you look at skill set, if you have a lawyer background, it's not typically a lawyer is not typically a selling person. But if you have the skill set of having a lawyer background and, you know, being good on stage, it's a rare skill set, and very, very rare. And that's why I like him very much, because at the moment and that's like politics in the world, I would say, we don't have the characters like in the past, neither in the clubs, in also in industry, in politics. And he's the best culé person with the spirit of the mentality of Barca, of the Johan thing, and also, let's say, with the best connections, because raising this kind of money in that short of time, if everybody in the world says there was 1. Whatever billion in debt on the account, and you show up with cutting the half of that, with getting money from not it's not like you borrow money. It's an investment, and like Goldman and Sachs said, it will pay off. Hard work will pay off, and I think we it's not that easy, yeah, to do it. And I'm more happy that he is trying to make the best out of it, to get some money, to get some investors, but not losing the whole, you know, the whole heart ownership of the club. So that's why I think he's and I don't see a better person, because you cannot put the CEO of McKinsey or KPMG there. You cannot do that. Yeah, you need a Coulet there somehow, and normally they pick the former president. So it's not that easy to find the right person. So I mean, I think he's still the best for the people they have.
Yeah, I mean, like I always think he's like one of the greatest Kool-Aid showmen, right? Like he just puts on this show. He's such a good people speaker. He goes in there and presents everything. Like today, for example, when they did the announcement at the Montreux, like he's out there, you know, basically, as we say in the States, kissing babies, right? Like he's just out there, that's like a politician, right? Like making all the pictures, doing all the things. And, you know, that's what he is. You know, that's why he did get voted, because of his charisma and his energy for this club. So we have one last question, and it's from Tom. And this is also just talking about transfer fees in general. And he says, given big fees being paid by Real Madrid and Liverpool, a bidding war for Rafinha, are we heading into another inflationary period for fees and salaries? How much in transfer fees should we pay for Rafinha, Lewandowski, Silva, anyone else? And again, I look at this really black and white, Kim. For example, look at what Bayern did. They bought Sané for 40 million and they're going to sell Lewandowski for 60. Like, that to me is how business is done the proper way. But unfortunately for Barca, again, everyone knows that Barcelona is in a desperate situation, and they're going to try to fleece or try to get the most money out of Barcelona as they can. And so a player of Rafinha, like, for example, Rafinha's, like, how much would you pay for Rafinha? I would say, maybe me personally, I would say 10 million, right? Like, I think that's a pretty, but a club might be able to get 20 because Barcelona are desperate to bring back Rafinha. And this is where the dichotomy of these transfer fees. So how are you feeling about the transfer fees? Because obviously, you know, from the business perspective, everything is negotiable. But again, when you are in such a weak position of negotiation, how do you improve the team and not lose the farm? Like, that's always going to be the questions going forward for this offseason.
Yeah, well, I'm always positive. So thinking about finding the right players who see the potential opportunity we have at the moment to create a new era with players who join for a while and players who join for a longer time. And that's, I think, my hope. It's optimistic hope. And then you need to see, okay, it's you have a brand behind. So moving to Barcelona should not be just a money thing. It's and it's different to Bayern, I have to say, because can you imagine Barca will sign players who have, let's say, who join us on the success and to develop on that, but not to sell them for more money. If they are worth more money, they will stay for a decade. Because if you play in Barcelona and your market price will go up, why would you go? So the only players our problem is we signed players for too much and now we sell them for less. That's the problem of the past. And we have to look forward, because there were just bad management decisions. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, this is now. I mean, this is always the issue. And again, I'm always just confused that, especially in the last two seasons, that Barcelona are not more active of trying to go for La Liga players under 23 years old to get them at a cost and bring them in, because there's a lower risk, you know. And that's one of the things. I understand that not all these players are going to be superstars and so forth, but also we need depth in the team. And I think bringing this type, for example, I saw a player from Roma today that was going to Valencia on a 1 million transfer fee. And I'm like, that sounds like, I mean, I know that he's not at a superstar level, but he's a serviceable, I can't remember the name right now off the top of my head, unfortunately, but you know, there are offers out there that you don't have to pay more than $25 million. And speaking of your last thought, you know, that's what we thought about Neymar, that Neymar was going to stay here for, you know, 30 years essentially, and he left after four, you know. So these are the issues that are happening behind the scenes with Barcelona. I mean, again, with all the economics that are going on, we don't have the transparency, the full transparency of what's really going on. So all this is speculation and going forward. We're basically coming into the end of June with no real free agent signed. So we'll see what happens in the next coming week. Kim, any final thoughts about Barcelona or the podcast before we go?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to thank the audience. I want to thank you. I think it's a great pod and a great forum for me as a European, and from my also from the German perspective, because the different thoughts we share on and also some critical opinions, and that's something I really appreciate. So that's something is there is a lot of Barca talk around the world, discussions, but I like that perspective, and also sometimes the comparison with the US sports or the US perspective. So that's yeah, something is very interesting for me. So I like that very much. And for the season, I think important is that Xavi knows behind what is the squad, and when they started with the kickoff, that they know who is on the team. I don't like to have players on the pretemporada without playing then after or leaving. So that's something we need, a clean thing, and to announce the new drafts. I mean, well, that's a long time. The transfer window is open, so I don't have any pressure. I don't care about Madrid, in my opinion, to say let's just try to spend the money most effective possible, and then announce it whenever it's signed. Yeah.
The hardest thing is to be patient, obviously, because we just want to see immediate action with these player transfer signings. But yes, you're right. The window doesn't close to the end of August, so there's plenty of time. So we'll see what happens. Kim, thanks for joining me. We'll talk soon. Hopefully we'll see each other even sooner.
Thank you. It was my pleasure, Gabriel. Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.